HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The airline says an Air India plane has crashed into a residential neighborhood in India's northwestern city of Ahmedabad after a mayday call to air traffic control. Video posted to social media shows smoke billowing from the crash site. The BBC's Nick Marsh.
It was up in the air for less than a minute before that mayday call went out, and then the plane came down. So, you know, clearly this is going to take some time before aviation investigators start to piece together what happened exactly.
The flight was bound for London's Gatwick Airport.
Air India has confirmed there were 242 people on board, that's passengers and crew, of which they say 169 were Indian nationals, 53 were British, one Canadian, 7 Portuguese.
According to the Aviation Safety Network database, it's the first ever crash of a Boeing 787. CBS News Special Report, Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is reminding residents to be aware of scams targeting seniors ahead of World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. The agency is recommending 5 prevention measures for older residents and their families: to be informed, plan ahead, stop and think, talk to others, and report potential scams. The DATCP website contains up-to-date information on circulating scams targeting older residents. On their part, residents should be wary of unsolicited communication demanding personal or financial information. Attorney General Josh Call has announced Wisconsin will join another multi-state lawsuit seeking to block the DNA testing company 23andMe from selling personal genetic data. The lawsuit argues that the highly sensitive genetic information, including biological samples, should not be sold without the consent of consumers who provided the samples. The lawsuit was filed in federal bankruptcy court as another company seeks to buy the struggling 23andMe company. Experts are encouraging consumers to delete their 23andMe accounts before a potential sale. The Rice Lake Community Health Foundation is seeking applications for matching grant funds from local health-related nonprofits. The foundation is looking to partner with local health and wellness organizations to improve the health and wellness of area residents. Organization officials say they provided over $340,000 to health-related organizations through matching grant funds last year. Any nonprofit health organization is invited to apply for the matching grant funding, and their formal requests must be submitted by August 15th. Polk County District Attorney Jeffrey Kemp has released a statement following a social media post regarding an email he sent questioning the legality of federal immigration operations. The email appeared to criticize the way ICE is conducting immigration operations, specifically the lack of hearings and warrants, as well as agents wearing masks. District Attorney Kemp said in his statement that the email was taken out of context to suggest something radical or inappropriate, and it was simply a discussion of legal and ethical questions with other attorneys. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Brewers and the Cardinals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a 4-game series at home against the Cardinals tonight. The crew losing to the Braves yesterday, 6-2. Rookie pitcher Chad Patrick gave up 5 runs in 5 innings. Manager Pat Murphy.
You know, he's been so great for us. He's a rookie. He's never faced, you know, being in that spot. So maybe that's going to be a good learning experience for him. We still have full confidence. He still got through 5.
NBA Finals. The Pacers beat the Thunder, 116-107, to take a 2-1 lead. Tyrese Halliburton says Brad Weber, his coach from Oshkosh North High, was at the game.
It's important for me at a time like this to talk to people whose opinions I respect. Coach Weber is one of those, you know, being my high school coach. Coach Prohm is in the back there, my college coach. You know, I've had many conversations with those guys. You know, these games can get crazy. And, you know, I think what I've learned from those guys as my coaches and Coach Carlisle, you know, is that people follow the leader.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible. Also, a little more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires. Our high right around 74. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, mid-50s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
SureTight Construction has been raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. Family owned and operated for over 30 years, they specialize in residential and commercial projects. from siding and seamless gutters to asphalt, metal, and flat membrane roofs. Need a custom shed or garage? They have you covered. Visit SureTight.com today or call 715-720-0212. SureTight Construction, where your dreams become reality.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, the Wisconsin Policy Forum drops a bombshell report on the impacts of the big, brutal bill in Wisconsin. I'm joined by their communications director, and we break it down.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning. It's June 12th, 2025. It's another morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. I can't say it's a beautiful morning for once, because I have a question for you. Can we build a wall around Canada instead? Can we forget the Mexico stuff? Can we build a wall and high enough to keep the smoke out? Because it is once again a smoky morning here on Lake Wissota, perhaps where you are as well. But we still appreciate you being here, listening across the radio network or on the app or YouTube or Facebook or podcast, and really appreciate you being here today. On the program today, it appears to be happening again in the Wisconsin legislature, where Republicans appear to show some willingness to compromise on an issue, only to turn around and add what's known as a poison pill, which is some other bill or amendment or language that's terrible and undoes whatever compromise Republicans were pretending to embrace. But then they have strings attached. We're going to talk to State Senate Democratic Leader Diane Hasselbein about the progress of state budget negotiations, and I'll tell you more about what might be following when it comes to a compromise on funding the stewardship program here in the state. As you know, Melissa Baldoff not only does our climate check, she's a political strategist, a former top advisor to Governor Tony Evers. If you missed her near the end of our show yesterday, she has some thoughts on that new column by our colleague Dan Schaefer on whether the governor should follow Dan's advice and decline to run for a third term next year. In a little bit here, we'll talk about how our Confederate president is doing more now to put the names of sworn Civil War enemies of the United States back on our military bases. Sherita Booker reviews some popular events happening this weekend around Wisconsin. We'll talk to Chad Holmes about stories he's following in the Wausau area. We'll check in one more time with Joseph Pecky ahead of this weekend's Democratic State Convention. Sean O'Malley looks at how your money and the markets are impacted by all the latest news out of Washington, D.C. And, of course, we'll have our Sconny Summer Text to Win contest. Only a couple of more days of that as well. If you'd like to have a little input on the show, on the conversations, ask any questions, you can send us a text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also text us directly from the Civic Media app, and you're going to be texting us from that app in about an hour for that Sconny Summer Text to Win contest. And, of course, if you're listening on the radio and want to know if you can really watch the show, yes, you can. You can see what we're doing by heading over to the Up North News Facebook page or YouTube page or the Civic Media Facebook page or the YouTube page. You can also email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. But if you go to one of these social media channels and you decide to watch us, you'll not only see, you know, the latest from this Lake Wissota studio and its sexy new bookcase, But that sexy pink t-shirt that Parker Olson is wearing down there at Studio A2 in Madison. Mr. Olson, good morning. What do you got there? What are you sporting?
Funny you say sporting, Pat. This is a jersey, actually. Yeah.
I had that impression, yes.
Yeah, Ford Madison.
Tell me more.
Ford Madison FC. It's a soccer team. I think it's like minor league soccer.
Yeah.
That's in Madison. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like soccer. I just like their branding. I just think the flamingos are cool, and I said, I'll buy it. Take my money.
Okay. And it doesn't say Madison or flamingos or anything. It says Dairyland on there. Yeah. So it's like one of these alternate jerseys, I guess.
Maybe. No.
Unless it's, or is that
soccer?
Is that a sponsor?
It's a sponsor. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Dairyland Cooperative, Dairyland Electric, I don't know. Whoever it is, thank you.
Restaurant?
Thank you for supporting. Okay, could be that too. Yeah, clearly, Parker and I are going to be learning more about Madison soccer teams, and I do say plural because we have talked about how there will be more soccer action coming to Madison, men's and women's. I don't know if you want to call it professional, semi-pro, I forget now. So clearly, we need to get up to speed and tell you more. But right now, it's just a fashion piece.
Oh, yeah.
Parker Olson in his pink Madison Flamingo soccer kit.
I'm all about the fashion pieces, Pat.
All about it. You guys getting the smokiness up down there as well? Or
I don't think so.
Because yesterday was so much better. So much better. And then we noticed right around sunset, it was starting to come in again. And maybe it was just a scene setter. Because we are going to have, Tony says, this is so disappointing. Hop on the soccer train, guys. Well, you know.
Yeah.
The footy, I guess you'd call football. Brittany Merlot says a stalled weather front is set up, and it's basically just going to be a pipeline for showers from now into early next week. Not rain all the time, but there may very well be a soaking rain at times. And so we'll have her break things down in our next hour as far as, you know, what this stalled weather front is doing, where the rain is going to be. Her state forecast for today says partly cloudy. Scattered showers early in the day in southern Wisconsin. More will pop up this evening. Highs today around 70 up north, mid-70s south, and east wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Occasional showers and thunderstorms tonight. Heavy rain is possible, especially in the western part of the state. And lows tonight will range from just 45 degrees up north to 55 south. Southeast winds at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow here, we're going to be talking to a state Supreme Court candidate, Dane County Judge Chris Taylor, somebody who served in the legislature prior to being a judge, and now she is an announced candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court for that seat next year, next April, which tells you something about the races that candidates have to declare this early, although it's important to declare this early for somebody like Judge Taylor because she will be probably running against Justice Rebecca Bradley, who is the leader of the conservative flank of the state Supreme Court, arguably, through the incendiary comments she likes to make in her opinions. It's still possible that other candidates will get in the race. If that's the case, there will be a primary next November. And the way these nonpartisan elections work, you might recall, is in the February primary, it's the top two vote getters who advance. Doesn't matter if they're liberal, conservative, independent, whatever the case may be. So if there aren't any more candidates, then just the two will advance to April. Otherwise, in February, it will be the top two vote getters that advance to the primary. So Chris Taylor will be joining us in our 8 o'clock hour tomorrow morning. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who's normally here in the 8 o'clock hour on Fridays, will join us for some of the questioning for Judge Chris Taylor. So that will be a nice addition to have to the show tomorrow. I'm just calling up today's Up North News Daily Newsletter. Christina Laurie puts that together for us Monday through Friday. You can sign up for it over at our website. Head to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner on top of the homepage. She continues her series on Food Network's 25 iconic eats and drinks from America's Dairyland, and talks all about maple syrup. Because, yeah, we talk a lot about beer and bratwurst and cheese, but syrup is very much a part of the region's history and culinary culture. And so there are all kinds of things, including a USA Today list of 10 small batch maple syrups you need to try. And you may think, well, wait, syrup is syrup. It comes from a maple tree, right? You know, just the way that I thought honey was honey. And yet on that recent vacation that I took, there were these various, you know, wine tastings and things like that. And they gave us three different types of honey to try. And one was what you would just consider to be, you know, straight honey. One of them, the bees were primarily working fields of lavender, and another one was rosemary. And there's such a difference in color and in taste. I mean, surprisingly so. I mean, how often do you taste two different honeys back to back? I think if I gave you any one of them, you go, okay, that's honey. But when you taste test them, you really get that feel for the difference. So when Christina tells you in today's newsletter that there are 10 different small batch maple syrups you need to try, believe her, because there's really a difference that way. Let's see. She's got something for June Dairy Month as well, and that deals with butterfat and the butterfat content of milk. I mean, nobody really talks about it, but it matters in terms of, you know, again, the ingredients that you're using. And so she has a story about that, including a link to some only in Wisconsin ice cream shops. So again, for that and more, head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click on the newsletter there. Parker, are we being corrected by one Luke Mathers here?
We did.
Okay, what does he say here? They are a USL1 team, that would be Madison, and a lot of fun to watch. And the proper name for what Parker is wearing is a kit. Well, we said that already, but it's a USL1 team.
Which I'm pretty sure is just fine.
Leads us to the next question, of course, of what is a USL1? And I know there are a lot of Flamingos fans in Madison, and I understand they might be ripping their hair out right now. But for the other 5 million of us outside of the Madison area who don't follow this team regularly, we would like to learn more. So, yes, Tony, you can put up on YouTube that you're so proud of Luke, but for all the rest of us, you know, be patient. We're learning. It all starts somewhere, and it does not necessarily start with a love of soccer. Sometimes it's love of the T-shirt. Yep. Oh, I'm sorry, the kit. So there you go. We mentioned, did we get to this yesterday, or did we not?
No, Brian, I believe Wilson. That was after.
Did we get the news after the show?
Okay. So.
You know what? We did, because I neglected to tell you that we have one more guest who's coming up. In place of the usual history lesson, we are going to be talking to one of our Civic Media colleagues right here, John Scott, the marketing director at Civic Media, who met and interviewed Brian Wilson at a concert once upon a time, and is going to tell us all about that, about meeting the man who really created the Beach Boys. Yes, Roger writes on Stevens Point, from Stevens Point on Facebook, definitely a musical genius. His favorite Beach Boys song is God Only Knows. And I will tell you that we are going to lead the segment off with that coming up in just over half an hour. And I, too, am going to break up a little bit, because God Only Knows does that for me as well. It's just a beautiful masterpiece of a song. And Brian Wilson was, a genius. There's just no other word for it. A tortured genius, quite literally, it turns out. And I don't know the degree to which the movie Love and Mercy, I don't know how much of it was you know, fictionalized, how much of it was fictionalized in a way that was completely off base. But if that movie truly grabs the essence of Brian Wilson and both his genius and his complications, then that was time well spent for me watching it a couple of years back. And I would highly recommend it to you as well, the movie Love and Mercy, to learn much more about the late Brian Wilson, who passed away yesterday, I guess, at the age of 82 years old. All right, well, coming up, we're going to hear from Melissa Baldoff. We're going to hear from Sherita Booker as well about some of the events that you can attend around Wisconsin coming up this weekend. That's right. two guests along the way before too much longer. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will be talking about our Confederate president renaming military bases again right after this.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Summer, summer, summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uihlein. In 2018 alone, the Uihleins received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You know, it's not that often anymore in Major League Baseball that you see a pitcher go all nine innings, but Atlanta managed to get a complete game out of Spencer Schwellenbach as Atlanta beat the Milwaukee Brewers on Wednesday 6-2. Atlanta took two out of three from the Brewers at American Family Field. Reese Hoskin homered in the second for the Brewers. Christian Yelich missed his second consecutive game with a swollen right wrist. He was hit by a pitch at Philadelphia on June 1st, and then he aggravated the injury on a slide last weekend. So up next for the Brewers, a four-game homestand against division rival St. Louis. The Brewers pitching phenom, I hear that word used a lot with this kid, Jacob Mizorowski, makes his major league debut tonight. So this could be the start of something great for the Brewers, or not. I think back to Garrett Mitchell. Remember that first game or two, and we just thought, oh my God, we've just seen the future of this team. And then he got injured and was out for a year. I'm not saying that's going to happen to Miz here. I'm just saying I'm hoping for the best for the Brewers' new pitcher, Jacob Mizorowski, making his debut tonight against the St. Louis Cardinals. Pregame starts at 6:05 on several Civic Media stations around the state. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. Of course, the WIAA Girls Softball Championships are underway in Madison. We'll have Mike Clemens on tomorrow to break down how the postseason is going in high school sports. And in the NBA Finals last night, Indiana won again. They beat Oklahoma City to take a 2-1 lead. Final score 116-107. It says here, every time Indiana has lost a game in the last 3 months, it simply has come back to win the next one, including here in the finals. Game four will be Friday in Indiana. All right, well, let's check in on President Donald Jefferson Davis Trump as he dredges up Confederate names, but not really, he says. Get a load of how he is technically not renaming some of our military bases after Confederate figures. You'll recall that, you know, 5 years ago or so, as we had a national reckoning on race and relations and history, and finally some folks had the light bulb go off and go, why do we still have military bases that are named for sworn enemies of the United States who once served the United States, but then in the Civil War fought for the Confederacy, were leaders of the Confederacy, who led the Confederacy as president of the Confederacy? Why are we still using those names? Finally ditched them 2 years ago. It took a little money, it took a little time, but it got done. And here comes Donald Trump and friends saying, no, we'd rather have the racist names on, but we're not actually going to put the racist names on there. Give a listen. In Georgia, there's Fort Eisenhower. Okay. Everybody knows President Dwight Eisenhower. But the name's going to revert back to Fort Gordon, originally named for John Brown Gordon, a Confederate slave owner and Ku Klux Klan member. This time around now, the Army says the base is going to be renamed for Master Sergeant Gary Gordon, who fought in the Battle of Mogadishu in Somalia. Wink. Fort Gregg Adams will revert back to Fort Lee. Not Robert E. Lee, of course. No. Fort Lee is now going to be honored for Private Fitz Lee for his heroism during the Spanish-American War. Wink. Of course, President Trump managed to screw up his already lame attempt at being cute, because instead of saying Fort Lee, he said the new name of the fort would be Fort Robert E. Lee. No, it's not. It's going to be Fort Lee, because it's not named for Robert E. Lee. You know what I mean? Fort Walker, this one's crazy. Fort Walker will become Fort A.P. Hill again. A.P. Hill. But not for the original Confederate. No. This A.P. Hill is going to be named for Medal of Honor recipients Lieutenant Colonel Edwin Hill, First Sergeant Robert A. Pinn, P-I-N-N, and Private Brian Anderson for their heroism during the Civil War. So A.P. Hill, standing for Anderson and Pinn and Hill. Wink. Honestly, if there are any descendants of these families whose names are being appropriated for this, I would love to hear them speak up and say, don't you dare use our loved ones' names so shamelessly to shield your racism. I mean, how much is it going to cost to, again, change all these names? Well, reporters asked the Army, and they wouldn't say. By the way, this comes on the heels of the Navy changing the names of some of its vessels, taking Harvey Milk's name off of one. White Nationalist Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth also wants to remove the names of the first Black Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall and civil rights leader Medgar Evers from vessels. Recall how the Naval Academy temporarily removed more than 300 books from its library, including volumes about the Holocaust, about Jackie Robinson, and more. And again, they eventually got put back, but after an expensive court fight, because racism and homophobia are besties with fiscal hypocrisy riding shotgun. And I cannot still believe that there isn't somebody in this Congress who isn't American enough to stand up and say to a president of their own party, nobody is fooled by this. Nobody is fooled by this when they hear how this all actually came about. This is making a lot of people thrilled. There's a lot of people being made happy about this. Those, of course, would be the reasons why we still have a race problem in this country. And now we're taking this big old step backwards. And the thing is, we're going to take the step forward again. We honest to God are. There will, again, come a day when Trumpism is no more. And it will cost some money and take some time and people will grouse again. But the arc of history will bend toward justice again. I swear, that's the only way this country survives, is we keep fighting and fighting and getting the right thing done, despite these stupid setbacks. Melissa Baldoff is coming up next. Live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Yeah, the cool, wet weather Wisconsin's been experiencing, causing a couple issues with our winter wheat. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension Small Grain Specialist, keeping an eye on the situation. He said Wisconsin farms need to be scouting those winter wheat fields now.
I know there are some reports of stripe rust out there, and most of the applications that are targeting for Fusarium head blight or scab will also control that as well. Just check the labels. But, you know, southern Wisconsin, if you drive around the wheat fields, you can see most of those fields have already been sprayed. But as we start moving north into like Door County, Green Bay area, where we grow a lot of winter wheat, I think farmers should really focus on that. And given the weather we've had right now, the heavy dews, the high humidity, I mean, I think spraying for Fusarium head blight or scab should be automatic this year. It should be a no-brainer.
Advice from Dr. Sean Conley, our University Extension Small Grain Specialist. Well, as we get started on a Thursday morning, looking at a new Wisconsin State FFA officer team and looking at Red Ink in Chicago. Both updates are next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
The Classic Green Reunion comes to Wisconsin June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. This year's event showcases Model B and industrial tractors, Waterloo Boy engines, and even drills. Come for the tractors and equipment and stay for the tours, vendors, camaraderie, and a good old-fashioned Wisconsin fish fry. To see event details or to register for tours, visit classicgreen.org. The Classic Green Reunion, June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. See you there.
Congratulations to our new state FFA officer team, including Harley Prill from Bloomer, Tanyelle Ducombe from Stanley Boyd, Corbin Weber from Cochrane Fountain City, Ava Ford from Prairie du Chien, Sam Mell from DeForest, Brooke Lutke from Partyville, Parker Smith from Loyal, Evan Retzloff from New London, Leighton Sabisky from Berlin, and Max Lutke from Beaver Dam. We'll find out who the new FFA president is later today. Barrel cheese was down a half yesterday at 185 and a half. 40-pound block cheese dropped 2 cents at 186. Double A butter was up 2 and a half, 253 a bushel. This morning, December corn's unchanged. November beans are down 3 at 1026. July wheat down 3 at 531. I'm Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible. Also, a little more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires. Our high right around 74. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, mid-50s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
Matt Nair on air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
It smells terrible.
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off,
and give us a few bucks.
Yeah. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Does President Trump have legal authority to send in troops when the governor doesn't ask for it? Jim Santel will break that down. Also, Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlone. We talk sports with J.R. Radcliffe. Don't miss
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Social media manager Sharita Booker is back here on this Thursday morning to help us preview coming attractions, something we want to do much more of as we roll through the summer months here. Sharita Booker, welcome. How are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you for being here on a Thursday to help us promote things happening in the next weekend. Let's start with a big one down on the Milwaukee Lakeshore, the Lakefront Festival of Art. I know I've been down there. It's been a long time, but I've been down there. It's a big deal, and it is going to get started tomorrow, Friday the 13th. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, and it's actually celebrating its 60th anniversary this year. And from tomorrow through Saturday, the museum's lakefront grounds will be filled with over 145 artists across the country. You can browse and buy everything from paintings and pottery to jewelry and sculptures. There will be live music, dance performances, hands-on art projects for the kids, plus a wine and beer garden and local food vendors. Tickets are $27 at the gate, but you can save a few bucks by buying in advance online for $22. Kids 12 and under get in free thanks to an anonymous donor. And for more information on that and tickets, visit mam.org/LFOA.
All right. And one other note that I see here on their website that I think is worth bringing up is that there will be these outdoor vendors, and they only accept digital payments. Cash is accepted inside the museum. But if you're going to the Lakefront Festival, and I'm sure you're seeing this more often as well, Sharita, where they're going cashless. And so you got to have either that phone app or a credit card handy.
I prefer it that way. I don't even carry cash.
Yeah, and more people all the time are like that, but I thought it'd be a good idea just to warn folks ahead of time. All right, so that's Friday and into the weekend. Now let's get into the weekend on Saturday, where it's June Dairy Month, of course, and so there will be all kinds of breakfasts on the farm, and there's one happening for Dane County over in Cambridge coming up.
Yeah, and we know June Dairy Month is a big deal here in Wisconsin. So Dane County Breakfast on the Farm is this Saturday at Hinchley's Dairy Farm in Cambridge. It runs from 7 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And it's your chance to enjoy a free real farm style breakfast that includes eggs, sausage, pancakes, yogurt, cheese, milk, and even ice cream. You'll get to tour the farm, meet some cows, check out antique tractors, and enjoy kid-friendly activities and live entertainment. It's just $10 for adults, $5 for kids 3 to 11, and little ones under 2 are free. And just a heads up, they're only taking cash or check at the gate. If you want more info, head to danecountydairy.org. And breakfast on the farm is the classic Wisconsin tradition. So if you don't live around Dane County, you may be able to find one in the area near you. It's a great way to support local farmers.
And I've got one more related in that vein. Also on Saturday is the Washington County Dairy Breakfast. It's also the Classic Green Reunion Tractor Show. Our friend Sheila Everhart, who was in here last week, gave us all that information. Breakfast will be served at the Washington County Fair Park. It's all-you-can-eat pancakes, scrambled eggs, cheese, sausage, applesauce, milk, and the Maple Woods Dairy Farm on Pleasant Valley Road is where that's being handled from 7 to noon. And again, that's all part of June Dairy Month activities. In this case, part of the Classic Green Reunion Tractor Show in Washington County. And we've got one more weekend event to talk about. That would be the Door County Beer Festival on Saturday.
Yep, that's happening this Saturday in Bailey's Harbor at the About Time Farm. There'll be more than 150 craft beers from over 40 Midwest breweries to sample, local food, and live music. You can grab early access tickets for $75, which include early access to all tasting tents, or general admission tickets for $55. Either way, you'll get unlimited tastings and a souvenir glass. And if you're worried about getting there, they've got free shuttles running all day from spots in Sister Bay, Egg Harbor, and Bailey's Harbor. So you can get your tickets and all the details at DoorCountyBeerFestival.com.
You know who's missing out on all this stuff? All those happy little Democrats who are gathering in Wisconsin Dells this weekend for their state convention, where they will be electing a new state party chair. So for all those folks, you're going to have to find other Dairy Month breakfast to go to, because you're going to be doing some very busy things coming up this weekend in Wisconsin Dells. Just a busy weekend all around, Sherita. Thank you so much for telling us all about it. Hope you have a good weekend yourself.
You too, Pat.
Oh, let me straighten up one thing. Okay, I think I conflated a couple of things over in Washington County. Parking and the breakfast will be served at the Washington County Fairgrounds. The activities and the ice cream sundaes will be held on the farm. And again, those websites are all either, let's go to the Washington County one first, WashingtonCountyDairy.com. The breakfast on the farm for Dane County is DaneCountyDairy.org. The Milwaukee Art Museum Lakefront Festival of the Arts is MAM, Milwaukee Art Museum, MAM.org/LFOA, Lakefront Festival of the Arts, and DoorCountyBeerFestival.com, DoorCountyBeerFestival.com, for some of the events that Sherita was talking about. All right, now let's shift gears. If you missed it toward the end of the show yesterday, we talked to Melissa Baldoff, who, along with doing our climate check and along with being Joe Zepecki, candidate for state party chair, is also a former deputy chief of staff to Governor Tony Evers. And so we asked her yesterday if she had any thoughts on the recent Dan Schaefer column about maybe not running for a third term. Let's play a little of that back. I put this thing up on my Facebook page, and there was some spirited responses right away. Here's one of those spirited responders right now, Melissa Baldoff, who has her climate check, but also is a former advisor to Governor Evers. Melissa, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing all right. I'm glad we're going to get a couple minutes to talk about this here. And, I said this on your, commented on your Facebook post, and I'll say it again here. I have known and worked with Dan for years, and I really appreciate what he's doing with Recombobulation area. I have the utmost respect for him, personally and professionally. But, you know, even our friends get it wrong sometimes. And I think Dan's really got it wrong here. Not only do I just disagree with, the take, I think it is a gift to Republicans who want to see a fight among Democrats. They want to see disunity. They want us to be divided and attacking one another. And it's, an attack that they want to make as well. So I think that this is, giving them a gift for one. And I think that the broader concern, setting aside what Republicans are going to do, because we know we have some ideas about what they're going to do. This is, I think, kind of flies in the face of what we think, what we can kind of expect from voters and what we're seeing already, what we're hearing already, that with all of the chaos happening in D.C., you see Trump and his very public breakup with Elon Musk and all that's going on with that. No expectation that things are going to get calm and sane and easy and rational and effective anywhere around the White House anytime soon. People are really going to be looking for calm, steady, trusted leadership at the state level. And that's what they're going to get with Tony Evers. That's what they've always gotten from Governor Evers. There is a reason that since he was elected, he has been the most popular and the most trusted elected official in the state of Wisconsin when you look at Marquette polling. So I think that is something that we really have to take into account here. We're also, I know that there were comparisons to other leaders. And look, I am somebody who works very hard to ensure that the people representing us are less old, male, straight, and white. And I get it. I understand where the conversation is coming from, but I think on this particular one, I think it just misses the mark.
It was always going to be talked about this weekend at the state Democratic convention regardless. I obviously even more so now. I think people were holding back, and you know, Dan has definitely found a way to be a conversation starter on this. But again, the governor's made very clear he's going to decide after the budget's all done and then make his announcement. I don't know that anything that's said or done this weekend is necessarily going to accelerate that timeline. Do you?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think that the like you said, the governor's been pretty clear. And at the same time, though, you know, I in my experience working for him and you know, what I've seen from him publicly and privately, he's a very honest dealer. And if something were to change his timeline for some reason, I think he'd be very transparent with people about that and, you know, what the reason for was for that. But I think we have every reason to trust him when he says he's going to make a decision after the budget.
That's Melissa Baldoff. And when we visited yesterday, we then made the transition into our climate check. And we talked all about Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy saying that the Biden era fuel economy standards for cars and trucks are illegal and moved to reverse them. Always taking the side of big oil and less fuel efficient cars whenever possible. And again, Duffy, like Trump, continue to spout off falsely about a so-called EV mandate. There is no EV mandate. There is an air quality mandate. If you can reach it with a mixture of EVs and fossil fuel burning cars, then go for it. If you'd rather have the, you know, the dirty air and the gas guzzlers and direct more American consumers to buying imported cars that are more fuel efficient, that's a choice that you can make. And that's one that the Trump administration has made. Now, if you wanted to hear that full segment with Melissa Baldoff, including everything else that we had to say about climate issues and the column about Governor Evers by Dan Schaefer, well, you can listen back to past episodes. You just head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Better yet, subscribe to us as a podcast. If you're part of the cult of Apple, like I am, which I thought that's all there ever was, you would just put Apple Podcasts on. But for Android and a whole lot of people that don't want to do everything by Apple, there is Spotify. And we would highly recommend heading over to Spotify and subscribing to our podcast there as well. We'd love to have you as a subscriber for that. Looking at some of the other stories that we've got on our website online at upnorthnewswi.com, there's one all about fly fishing in Wisconsin, which I frankly don't really think much about because I'm out here on a lake where a deep lake where people are looking for muskie and walleye, and I don't appreciate nearly enough all the fly fishing done for trout around Wisconsin. And so we've got an article there that has you covered from peaceful trout streams to rivers with salmon. There are six different ones to check out. There's the Wolf River, which is one of only two designated national scenic rivers in Wisconsin, where you can catch rainbow trout, brown trout, brook trout, in addition to sturgeon. There's the Kickapoo River. The West Fork is regarded as a great spot for both wet and dry fly fishing, the article says, for brook and brown trout. Let's see. There's also a stretch of the Peshtigo River right below the Johnson Falls Dam, called one of the best fly fishing spots in all of Wisconsin, with a variety of species, as well as walleye, pike, and muskie. There's the Rush River that rises near Baldwin in St. Croix County and flows toward Pierce County, a tributary of the Mississippi, considered one of the best for trout fishing by the DNR. You can also catch smallmouth bass and other medium temperature species. And more are listed there as well. So look for that six best fly fishing spots in Wisconsin by Sam Cohen on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Coming up next, we are going to have a very different daily history lesson, basically the history of Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. Look, I'll be honest, the pickings were slim today anyway, so I really wanted to take advantage instead of talking to one of our colleagues, John Scott, who has met with Brian Wilson, interviewed him, and we're going to talk about that next. You're up north.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Go from daydreamer to industry leader with Amazon Business. From office supplies to IT essentials, Amazon Business provides tools that help you save costs and make insight-based decisions. Learn how to bring your visions to life at AmazonBusiness.com.
Get a $15 prepaid MasterCard after rebate when you buy 5 quarts of Mobil 1 Full Synthetic Motor Oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're following up on a story from last summer when Georgia's State Elections Board voted to allow county election board members to conduct their own investigations before certifying an election, potentially throwing the elections into chaos. The state Supreme Court threw out that and other fringe rules on June 10th. The Georgia Elections Board approved partisan, conspiracy-driven rules just 90 days before the 2024 election, including allowing individual members of county election boards to conduct their own reasonable inquiry before certifying an election. Another rule approved in September required a hand count of paper ballots into stacks of 50 to compare with the machine count total. Pro-voter groups challenged the rules, and last October, a district court judge ruled they were enacted too close to the election and were too disruptive. The Republican National Committee and the Georgia GOP appealed for an emergency order, which was declined until after the election. In a victory for voters, the Georgia Supreme Court found June 10th that most of the election board's new rules were not enabled by state statute. The court allowed surveillance cameras at drop boxes, but struck down most others, including reasonable inquiry investigations, post-election document examination, hand counting, and IDs for family members dropping off mail ballots. Two other rules were sent back to lower courts. We have the 96-page order at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This, of course, is God Only Knows by Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys. And I have to apologize on the front end. I mentioned earlier the song still guts me. I was 14 years old when my little brother passed away at the age of 9. And we played this song at the funeral. So you'd think the years would maybe heal some of this stuff, but it doesn't. And it just goes to tell you more about the artistic genius that was Brian Wilson and what he brought to the Beach Boys in their earliest phases of surf music, when things got more complex through Pet Sounds, and then through the rest of his history, which the phrase I use, I think quite appropriately, is tortured genius. And among the many people fortunate enough to get to meet and interview Brian Wilson over the years includes John Scott, who is the Civic Media Director of Marketing, and he joins us now. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat.
Thank you so much for being here. You talked to him in California in 2007, correct?
Yeah, he played a show at the Harmony Festival. It's kind of a county fair with a little extra hippie added in.
Okay. And look, by 2007, I mean, you know, the Beach Boys and Brian Wilson and others, you know, they were playing all over the place. So they were much more accessible than in their days when they were filling up stadiums. But by 2007, tell me a bit more about, you know, how you got to meet them and what the interview was like.
I've had the great privilege over this career to be able to interview a lot of famous people. I've had the privilege of interviewing presidents and actors and rock stars, and it was just a nice perk of the job that I had. And I had a couple of connections to get up to this event, and we did a live broadcast that afternoon, I recall. And I was flabbergasted at the thought of being able to meet Brian Wilson and talk to him. And even after meeting lots of people, this guy's an icon. He's a legend. And I was a little intimidated, but he was having a really good day that day. And our conversation was fluid and friendly. And I went back to kind of just rejigger how that all went. But he was amazing. He spent an hour with me. And then I got to go backstage when he played his set with his band later on, Pat.
Obviously, he's been asked a lot of the same questions over and over again, but I wonder if you could tell us a bit more about, you know, the questions that you asked. What did you especially get out of it? What did you learn that really stuck with you in being able to do some Q&A with Brian Wilson?
That's an awesome question, and you're absolutely right. When someone has done something as long as he has, he's been asked everything over and over and over again. There is one thing that I will take away from our conversation. I don't remember 30 of the other questions I asked him because it was a while ago, but I said, how do you write a song? And he told me to envision a piece of canvas on an easel that's blank. And then you begin with the background color. Let's say it's blue. You paint blue on the back of the easel. That's Brian Wilson at a piano starting to work out the initial melodies of the song. And then he said, you add a tree or a sun or some grass, or, you know, you start layering it on. He said that he could see the whole song in his head before it was even finished, just by starting with that blank canvas, him at a piano, just working it out. Isn't that really something? I've never thought of it that way before.
I've heard that before about some folks who basically see music. They see the colors. And I remember getting that impression from the movie about him as well. And did you get to talk at all about that transition, if you will? You know, he was so pigeonholed initially as a California surfer dude, and all the music was going to sound the same. And, you know, between the creative competition with the Beatles and others, it feels like he really got to come out of his creative shell in that moment. Did you guys get to cover that kind of transition at all?
I think we did. I went back. I was able to find the set list of the show. So I know what songs he played. Okay. And most of them were Beach Boys songs. But he had a really good band, as I recall. And he did some of his own material. And he just pretty much said that he enjoyed playing those old songs. I said, you're not tired of them? He goes, why would you be tired of them? They made his whole life. But he enjoyed, you know, again, this is 2007, so he's through the real turbulent 80s and 90s where he was really going through some mental health issues and stuff. But he said he felt freer to experiment and kind of just do his own thing.
And that's really all he was looking for, was that creative piece, you know, which is tough to get when you're competing with a record label or when you're having artistic differences in your group. And so I'm glad that he got the chance to do these, essentially solo gigs and be his own person. And it was so nice of you to put up a remembrance about that in the company chat so we could hear more about it. I'm glad you're willing to share that. It clearly stuck with you, that visit that day.
Not all of them do, but this one did, and I'll always be grateful for my time with him, Pat.
John Scott is the Director of Marketing for Civic Media, and we are so fortunate that you were able to and willing to share some memories of Brian Wilson with us today. John, thank you so much again. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks very much.
Okay. Appreciate it so much. Again, you can see why I wanted to clear the decks and just learn much more about Brian Wilson and you know, what all you could glean from being able to. I've always wanted to talk to songwriters. I always think of people like, you know, Don Henley, for example, but there are so many others, and just get that sense for something I could never do. I could never write music or anything like that. And they can, and they write these masterpieces. And I feel very fortunate that Brian Wilson was willing to share some of his difficult but beautiful life with us. So thank you again to John Scott for that. Much more ahead in the next hour here of our mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Chaos in a residential neighborhood in northwestern India after an Air India plane bound for London's Gatwick Airport crashed just after takeoff from Ahmedabad. Rescuers say dozens of bodies have been found at the site. Correspondent Rami Innocencio is at the foreign desk.
This was an Air India passenger flight, a Boeing 787 Dreamliner with more than 240 passengers as well as crew on board.
Video from the scene shows black smoke billowing into the air as firefighters hose down the charred remains.
This plane was loaded up with fuel. This was for a 4,000-mile flight for more than 9 hours. Air India says that the passenger manifest was 169 Indians, 53 Brits, 7 Portuguese, and 1 Canadian national.
India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi calls the crash heartbreaking beyond words. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.